So good evening, everybody. I think this week's sitting begins the ninth year of this Sangha's practicing together. If I remember correctly, we first met around the middle of November in 2001. And so I think we just kept going after that, those first two meetings. So I feel like it's wonderful to acknowledge and enjoy the fact. And as you know, the Sangha started in California in 1986, so 23 years ago, originally under the auspices of Jokchal Kwang Roshi, my teacher, who authorized us to begin to practice as a satellite sangha. So it's quite wonderful, really, to kind of see how it's developed over time. I think that I'm so happy to be part of this sangha practicing on this island in Canada. There was no way to predict that this would, that karmic conditions would occur to allow us to do this. So I really feel kind of humbly and modestly so joyous, so grateful for all of your effort. I thank you all very much for making this possible. Last week we turned the lights out and heard each other's voices in the dark. We heard about emotion, about thought, about a kind of mask or role that we all have in life, opinions, etc. And we saw how within the larger context of our true awareness, these individual human attributes could actually take up quite a bit of room, until you would think that there was only thought during thinking, or there was only feeling during emotion, or only the mask or the role that was playing. Because there's such powerful parts of human personality. The mask is, I'm referring to as persona. It's that personality. And I've been thinking about that all week, really. About how easy it is, really, for these elements of human life to just run wild with the whole rest of our life. And just can just take us, even though we have this huge boundless nature, this huge boundless awareness within which all of this plays out. It's quite something, really, to see how an obsessive thought or a charged emotion can just run away with the, with the carriage, so to speak. There's a phrase in Japanese which is said in the tea ceremony, but also said even at the meals. The phrase is osaki ni. Can you say it? Osaki ni? Osaki ni. O is honorific. So osaki ni. Osaki ni. In the tea ceremony, for example, which is quite formal, as you probably know, the tea is served, but then the first person who drinks it says osaki ni, which means please forgive me for going first. Please, I ask you to forgive me for going first. Even though everyone knows the first drinker will go first, the first drinker still says Hosakini. Asks for forgiveness for stepping forward. So I was thinking, how can... And I always love to say Hosakini when I was in Japan. I sort of liked it. I was thinking, how can we make a practice that includes Hosakini to help ourselves not be run away with by afflictive or hindrance or hindering elements of our human life. So I thought I would ask you, just sort of in a casual way, think for a moment about one of your sort of deepest human values. Maybe it's kindness or gentleness, you know, that kind of thing. Think of, you know, something along that order that you really, without any question, could say, this is, I'm not like this all the time, but this is something I truly value. So please, you know, spend a few moments thinking of that. It's not usual to think about it, is it? We don't usually stop to say, what do I really value humanly? It's kind of rare. Now I'd like to ask you to please think about something in your personality that has fairly consistently caused you problems. Something that always ends up getting your foot in your mouth, or your, you know, you spend days or weeks or months processing something that really gets you in trouble. Don't judge it, just acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to know it. Does everyone have one of each of those?
Mm-hmm. One?
Yeah, just one is good. One can last a lifetime. Now, I want to suggest that we have to be able to help ourselves with our Buddha awareness. If we can practice helping ourselves with our Buddha awareness, we can actually do something good in the world. If we can't help ourselves, how can we possibly really help this world? Because at any moment, the part of us that remains beyond our ability to help it might show up. So I'd like to ask you to think now about that part of you that tends to get you in trouble. You know, we all have probably similar kinds of things. And I want to ask you to imagine when that starts to arise in you. As soon as you can remember to kind of inside of yourself bow to it and say, Hosakini. And then let that first thing take over. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say you're very competitive. You want to win. Really, all the time. And it comes out even at dinner. Or, you know, where you make sure everyone knows that you made the best potato salad or something. Something like that. As soon as you feel it arising, if you can remember to just say to it, Hosakini. And then that's the voice of the first thing I asked you about speaking. So let's say the first thing is gentleness, that kind of thing. And competitiveness has already got your ear. And you can say to yourself, Osaki ni. And as soon as you hear it, that's the key for gentleness to come in.
Mm-hmm.
In this way, our nature can help to tame our nature. We don't have to reach outside. Do you see how it is? It's very simple, really. But the important part is to show respect to the part that tends to the afflictions, to respect it, to give it the kindest statement, please forgive me for going first. In other words, we know what's going to happen. We're going to help you. I'm going to allow gentleness to go before competition. Or I'm going to allow, somebody, what is one of your first things?
Truth before fear.
Truth before fear. So I'm going to allow truth to help whatever the affliction is. I'm going to allow it. But because we say Osaki ni, it doesn't become, in this case, say truth-like, right? It's respectful.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very important. Otherwise, truth becomes one of the afflictive, you know, things, because people can hammer with truth, right? Instead of help with truth. So that's a great example. Wonderful. So imagine inside yourself now for a moment a situation in which either you did, you know, find yourself being controlled by one of these hindrances, or make it up. You know, we've done it enough. And imagine now bringing Osaki ni. Please excuse me for going first. In the name of the first part. Would you do that for maybe just 1 minute? Just imagine. Did you feel anything in your heart?
Mm.
What did you feel?
A shift from tightness to openness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I almost began to cry when I felt mm-hmm. it. I felt so suddenly soft.
Calm.
Calm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you feel?
Lightness.
I didn't hear.
Sorry, lightness.
Lightness. Uh-huh. It's amazing, isn't it? It's so simple. It's such a simple way of using our kind of better selves to help the part of us that forgets, really, that it can be a better self. I was sort of laughing to myself before because I, as usual, I didn't know I was going to talk about this until somehow I'd started talking about it. But one of the images that ran through my mind was a kind of Walt Disney cartoon, you know, where the, like the little angel and the little devil. So it's kind of the little angel is connected to our heart. And the little devil, poor thing, is disconnected. And that's important for us too. And the part that is split off and therefore is anxious or worried or fearful or, you know, whatever. And so is driven, right? Driven to whatever, to win, to be heard, to be right, to, you know, cause harm, basically, in some way, in the name of its truth or its something or other. But the angel is actually really an angel. It's not, I'm right and you're wrong. It's, let me help you. This is a bodhisattva action that takes place right inside of us. This is bodhisattva action. This is the heart of the bodhisattva practicing inside of the heart of the bodhisattva. This is, you know, when the Buddha said, sort of, you know, be a light unto yourself, this is the light shining inside of us. When the Buddha said we should study our emotions in our emotions, he didn't say don't have emotions. He said we should study our emotions in our emotions. That means in the middle of them, we should study them and ask what's really happening. What's really happening is this part is hurting, and so it's striking out in some way, and this part understands it and is offering itself. And it just helps for us to tame ourselves. Because as you know, we can't help but think what we think. We can't help but feel what we feel. We can't help but sort of trot out the persona that has taken a lifetime to develop. Although that can be, curiously, that can be helped when the other parts are helped. You know, when the other kind of afflictive hindrances or human elements are helped. Then the persona starts to change because it doesn't need to hold on so much to its idea of itself or its image that it produces in the world. Sometimes when the Buddha Dharma is taught, it sounds so impractical. So I keep trying to find ways to say something so simple, something useful, like I want to open the door. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, let's see if we can find a way to put our hand on the doorknob instead of kicking it down. You know what I'm saying? Something practical, something useful that we all need. I need it, you need it, everyone needs it. The more we practice this ancient practice of Osaki Ni, which has been practiced in the Buddha Dharma for about 8 minutes, I think the more we really can nourish our true aspiration. Not to read about Buddhas, but to be them. Not to sort of glorify bodhisattvas, but to practice them. To practice a bodhisattva. To realize a bodhisattva. Not because it makes us special, but because it reveals the beauty of everything else. And so this is what I want to offer you tonight. And therefore, Osaki Ni. Does anybody have a question? Or I don't know what time it is. So,
when do you want to know?
What is it?
10 to
5. Oh, okay. Does anybody have a 30-second question?
I don't have a question so much as a
or a statement. Yeah, anything.
Well, as you know, Carrie and I attended Joanne Macy's workshop, and I thought it was lovely. Because for me, one of the emotions that grabs me quickly is anger. When she has to do what's called the truth mandala, people came forward and they shared their grief, their despair, their fear, and their anger. And it was really powerful and easy to think these are a lot of the negative emotions that we ought to be trying to avoid or whatever. And then the healing comment that she offered at the end was that our fear was driven by our courage to seek our fear. Our despair was actually an aspect of not actually knowing, like having us being in a state of not knowing, which she thinks is very fruitful. Our anger was an expression of our longing for justice and fairness in the world. And our grief was an expression of our love. And I thought that, for me, that was so powerful because if I can sit with what I think of as a troublesome feeling, such as fear or anger, and I can look at what actually is driving it, like not the justifications, not the circumstances, but the longing for justice or the need for courage, then that's another way for me to actually work with those difficult, afflictive emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this practice I've mentioned that Thich Nhat Hanh taught us, and Joanna was with us in those mountain retreats. I, no matter what the emotion was that was difficult to experience and sometimes could be destructive, when I got to the bottom of it, it always was love. It's just, I couldn't get away from it. I thought, you know, is that really true? Am I just making that true? But when I look at it, you know, and then we all talked about it and we all found the same thing. You know, you're angry in many cases because of love. Not love scorned, but because you love. Mm-hmm. Same with, you know, all you grieve because you love. You didn't love, it wouldn't matter to you. You know, like that. So, yeah, I agree completely with that. I remember I was walking up a path at that first retreat, and Joanna was sitting on a rock. And as I walked to her, she looked like this. And I couldn't walk past her. She said, "Sit down, let's just look in each other's eyes." So we did. We didn't move. Just stayed there for long. This lady is great. But I mean, we stayed for about 15 minutes looking. Okay, thank you. Please practice, try it. You know, practice osaki ni and see how it works.